The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning, Bahamas. In fact, good yawning this morning. I hope you guys took a moment to hold on to that cool breeze. I don't know how long this little cold front weather is going to last, but hold on. Hold on through the night. It is Tuesday, the 13th of April, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian 96.9 FM, and that must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. So remember, you're listening on radio on 96.9 FM, but if you got to make a move, you can also listen. Because we're streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 and Flow Channel 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Now, just a quick note. I don't know about some of you guys, but before I left the house this morning, I was having a little difficulty accessing or listening to the show on Cable 969 and on Flow 612. So if you're also experiencing that difficulty, call your service provider and let them know. You need them to clear up that channel because you got to be on the clock with the Guardian team today. It's a lovely day. Now, yesterday I told you that I was expecting to have members of the Bahamas Dock and Allied Vendors Association or Allied Venues Association on the show. Unfortunately, they are unable to make it today, but I have a member of the team scheduled for tomorrow. And so today, I have not in studio, but on Zoom and the interwebs, some guests from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and they're going to be joining us to talk about what's happening on the ground in St. Vincent right now and the relief and recovery efforts and how we can participate. Just before we get started, because they're only going to be here for the top half of the show, once we finish with that conversation, I want to delve into the headlines. There are lots of interesting things here on the front fold of The Guardian. PM touts land initiative. It's a very important conversation, so I'm very concerned. It's a great initiative. I don't want the young people to think we older people or some of the older people are hating on them. We're glad to see opportunities for young Bahamians to advance, for social and professional upward mobility. But I would really like to see how this initiative sits within a larger initiative to address the housing crisis that we are currently experiencing. Also, I want to know, because there should be similar initiatives for other categories of people in the country. So a couple other things I want to talk about, particularly in the light of this discussion about the Young Professionals Housing Initiative. On page 3, Minnis claims former PLP government spent $10 million on a house for PM to entertain guests, right? So really, I sort of interested in this administration's whole philosophy or ideology around housing and land use and access to land. Kermit, are my guests on Zoom? Are they signed in? They are? Awesome. Awesome. So, like I said, before I bring in my guests, I'm sorry I forgot. I have to remind you, today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And the Department of Inland Revenue is asking you to go to their social media pages and learn more about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. This is of great interest to me because there's a family of raccoons living in the bush next to my house, and I know they're waiting for me to slip on a payment so they could jump in there and take possession of my land, in particular that big dilly tree and that big mango tree sitting there. So please, avail yourself of the information that is available to you on the Department of Inland Revenue's social media and resource pages. So, good morning, Bahamas. Yesterday, the La Soufre volcano in St. Vincent and the Grenadines fired an enormous amount of ash and hot gas early Monday, in the biggest explosive eruption yet since volcanic activity began on the eastern Caribbean island late last week. This is a big thing. I mentioned it last week, and this volcano is still erupting. And so I reached out to a friend from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And when I say a friend, she's not just a friend of mine, but she's a friend to the whole country, Ms. Holly Bino. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Erin. Good morning, everyone. So thankful to be here. Thank you so much for extending our country's current situation to the Bahamian public. It is, I can't really say a pleasure, but we're here to share the story, and it's ongoing and ever-evolving.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, you know, despite what some people in the ocean think, the Bahamas is a part of the Caribbean. We're not your neighbors in the Atlantic to the north. We are a part of your family. And so for me, you know, it is my pleasure to provide a platform for you guys to share what's happening on the ground there. But more importantly, to share about ongoing evacuation and relief efforts and how we can support these efforts.
Erin, thank you again. It is my real pleasure to introduce you to someone who's on the ground, my co-founder and one of the co-directors of Rise Up Bekwe, Solana Gooding. I know that she's had some trouble coming into the call, and that, you know, she's on the ground in Bekwe currently, so she'll be able to share some of her perspective. And I'm sure that she'll probably be out of the call before me, simply because things are still very dynamic and, again, ever-evolving. And new needs are also coming to the surface with regards to, you know, evacuee stories and how many evacuees we are actually housing and how many evacuees are taking shelter and seeking shelter on Bekwe currently. So, Solana, I'm not sure if you're there. If you're there, can you unmute and just check in?
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to everybody in the Bahamas. It's a pleasure to be here this morning with you all.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And through the turmoil and the devastation, thank you very much.
Yes. I am literally currently out of breath right now, just sitting down here. Would give you just a brief update on what is going on here in Bekwe at the moment. With Rise Up Bekwe, we're known for doing relief work, and of course, it's our neighboring island, mainland St. Vincent, and there's no hesitation whatsoever to do what we absolutely can as a team to help our own country, of course, and our neighbor, our sister island, St. Vincent. Bekwe, we have been busy for the last few days trying to provide supplies for persons that are currently in shelter here in Bekwe. And the numbers daily seem to be increasing. We started off with about 14 people on Sunday. We had then 21 on Monday. And by the end of yesterday evening, it was up to 41. And then we have another 21 today. So, yeah, people are definitely coming to Bekwete Shelter. And we have a collection drive of non-perishable food items that is going on right now. And we're seeing an ongoing need for those items along with baby supplies like formula, diapers, wipes, even clothing for children. I mean, mothers are desperately reaching out for kids' clothing because, I mean, the situation in Bekwete is that we're so limited, even with water here, that everybody has to be so careful with water use. And even where the shelter people are staying, it is really putting a stress and strain on our already limited water resources. So clothing is a necessity right now for babies, kids ranging from 2 to 4, and baby formula, diapers. That's something we're actually running around this morning right now doing. And I thank God for the team of volunteers that are with me this morning. I really can't do it without them.
Yes, absolutely. So let me ask a couple of quick questions. The population of St. Vincent and the Grenadines is roughly just above 100,000, right, people?
Yes, it's close to 115,000 people.
All right. And I read yesterday that approximately 16,000 people had been evacuated up until about Sunday evening.
Yes, and I think that number has increased.
Yeah,
I'm not exactly sure, but I know at the beginning of the evacuation, it was definitely 16,000 people had been evacuated all around between Thursday and Friday morning.
Right. So if the volcanic activity continues, right, how many more people will have to be evacuated? We know that the volcano is on, I think, the north side, on one side of the island. The population there is relatively small compared to the other parts. But would continued volcanic activity mean that a larger proportion of the island's residents would have to be evacuated? And is there an evacuation plan in place where people will be moved from the mainland to the outer islands, or is there a regional strategy where people will be moved from the mainland to other Caribbean nations?
So that is quite an interesting series of questions, Erin. I think to start, they have divided up the mainland of St. Vincent into four zones, the mm-hmm. red and orange zones which they've evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are seeking shelter in the green zone, which is on the southern end of the island. It also happens that this is where our capital is, and it's where most of the people live, and our business centers are also there. So in many ways, the geography of the volcano where it's located is, it can continue to cause a lot of interference. And as of this morning, as of 6:30 this morning, mm-hmm. we had another explosive eruption that issued a lot of ash out,
yes.
Out of the actual volcano. So I'm saying all of this to say that when the UE seismic research team delivered their messages yesterday, after the 4 a.m. blast on Monday, it was apparent that, you know, things were becoming more volatile. And a lot of people are under the impression that because the dome has collapsed, and because all of this, you know, cubic feet of earth material has been displaced, it means that we're somewhat in the clear. The explosion this morning shows that that is absolutely not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday as well, an important scenario and, you know, event happened where they've now confirmed pyroclastic flow, which is, I think, a new term for a lot of people. And that is essentially, you know, hot material moving in an avalanche format from the peak of the volcano down the sides of the mountains on the western and eastern side of St. Vincent. there is more pyroclastic flow on the leeward side, and the seismic team actually showed footage of that. This is very dangerous. So if the volcano continues to have more explosive eruptions with pyroclastic flow, it means that we can't really foresee what the scenario is. And, you know, each day the situation changes and becomes more dynamic. So that is regarding that question. The next question with regards to a national evacuation strategy. So Rise Up Mekwe is an apolitical organization. So it means that we remain neutral irrespective of the work at hand and the work that we have to do. But there's been a lot of communication and back and forth from the governments of St. Vincent and, you know, surrounding countries of the OECS and of CARICOM. I know countries like Trinidad are sending military personnel to the country just in case we need that kind of support. I know that a ship came in from Venezuela yesterday, and one is also in from Grenada, bringing relief supplies to the country. The most pressing need that we're seeing right now out of the country is water. You know, we're in our dry season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And resources are already depleted, and the Central Water and Sewage Authority, CWSA, confirmed that a lot of their reservoirs are actually contaminated, but they've already started that work of cleaning up and making sure that certain areas can get water. So I know that there've been a couple of announcements over the last few hours letting residents know that water is going to be back, even if it's for a little while. So they're trying to try and stabilize the communities right now.
Okay, If I wanted to make a large scale donation of water or goods, right, to the country of St. Vincent, what is the best way to make that type of donation?
So for large scale donations, you know, donations that are coming in via ship containers, etc., I would say it is best, and I'm not sure if Solana would agree, to go through NEMA. Sorry, NEMO. NEMA is elsewhere. The National Disaster Organization, they're currently leading the initiative to make sure that things that are coming into the country remain, you know, open and possible. Erin, you more than well understand that, you know, I lived through post-Dorian Bahamas, and these things might very well look good on paper and through speech, but logistically on the ground, it can become a little bit of a bottleneck and a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We're 4 days out, so a lot of the relief that is coming in now, the country is coming in from Barbados and St. Lucia, the countries that are very, very close to us. So it would be good for organizations who feel it in their heart to give to St. Vincent to be in direct contact with NEMO. Solana, do you have any other suggestions?
You can also work to any trusted NGO. As of yesterday, the government gave a waiver for any sort of food or water that is being sent to St. Vincent and the Grenadines can be sent to any registered NGO on the island. That also works along with NEMO. But it is important to note, if people are doing that, they need to have proper information from the NGOs on how to register items that are being shipped and how to label it. It has to be labeled particularly to say that it is for relief in care of certain NGOs.
For relief in care of a particular NGO.
Correct.
Is there a space online that details the protocols for donations?
Yes, there are a couple of things going around right now, a couple of briefs, and one of them coming from Cabinet yesterday said that they're making the 100% waiver of import duty, VAT, excise duty, customs service charges, and bottle duty on all relief supplies imported from friendly governments, international organizations, etc. All of these have to be consigned and addressed to the National Emergency Management Organization, NEMO, and some of the registered NGOs that they've established a connection with include the SVG Red Cross, the Rotary Clubs, the Lions Clubs, and the Chamber of Industry and Commerce. Of course, Rise Up Beckwith is also a registered NGO with a track record for the last 7 or 8 years. So we're also able to acquire donations, and we all have a set amount of information to share with the public today with regards to how Rise Up Beckwith is trying to negotiate this new space of being able to acquire funding and spend it immediately on the ground. So rather than waiting, we've already established a couple of avenues to acquire. When people are donating, there's one application in particular that we have brought into this scenario called PaySwif, PaySwif, which allows people globally to donate through their website. And if you're using a credit card or a debit card, or if you have PayPal, you can also go to the link that we'll furnish and make the donation there. When that money comes through on our end, we can spend it with wholesalers, or we can spend that money directly with supermarkets, wholesalers, etc. So it really cuts down the bureaucracy of, you know, bank accounts and waiting for checks to clear, because as you know, Kingstown is still under a massive cleanup from the ash fall from the last 4 days.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yes, and even here in Beckwith, our bank, that is one of the situations that we've dealt with over the last 2 days. Our bank has been closed, and because we can't transfer money from one account to the other, PaySwif is definitely being a good option for us.
All right, and repeat that. It's PAY. SWIFT?
SWIF.
IF. PaySwif. Yes. And we can find that online?
Yes, you can find that online. Actually, we have a couple of spaces on Facebook. We have our profile page. It's called Rise Up Beckwith. You'll be able to see that information there. And thankfully, given the fact that we're, you know, in the technology age, we've been able to shrink the link down a little bit, so it's also easy to share via voice. So, Erin, can I share that now in case people are interested?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it is https://bit.ly/3TO Tango Orange, B Bravo, Victor, what is W? Walter. So again, that's bit.ly/3 Tango. I'm so sorry to say that I don't remember what O is. Tango Orange. Bravo, Victor, Walter. My father would just roll in his grave hearing me not know
the call sign. And it made me think, you know, like you mentioned, you live through here in the Bahamas, and we used to have the sort of culture of appreciation for a hurricane plan, right? Like, we used to have this culture where everybody knew what to do when a hurricane was coming. Mm-hmm. There was always a family plan or a community plan, but everybody knew what to do. All the shops knew it was hurricane season and it was time to have these supplies in. And that sort of culture is dissipating, and more we're getting sort of caught by surprise, right? By hurricanes, despite the ever looming presence in our lives. And I imagine in the same way in St. Vincent and all of our Eastern Caribbean states where there are volcanoes, right, where the ranges, that you can sort of never escape, right? There's always this in the back of your mind, I have to be prepared. This, today, really the anniversary of the 1979 La Soufre eruption. And so mm-hmm. I want to sort of,
yes,
it is. How, how are people dealing psychologically? And I know we're still in the midst of it, right? We haven't actually entered a recovery period yet. But how are people dealing with it, and what resources are available for people to reach out if they can, you know, to deal with the stress of this situation, of this natural disaster?
That's also a very interesting and engaging question, Erin. As you know, this topic of mental health and wellness is very close to my heart. The National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, when we were trying to figure out how to heal the nation after Dorian, this is one of the strategies that we deployed. I'm not sure that Vincentians Vincentians might very well care very much about their psyche and their psychological state, but the government does not really have any current resources available for the public to even sort of gesture towards this kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. Again, just to give you some context of St. Vincent, we've been post-independent for 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the last time La Soufre erupted was in April of 79. We became independent in October 27th, 79. We're a young country. We've had bipartisan politics shape our political and social landscape. We're also one of the poorest Anglophone Caribbean countries. If you look at our GDP, we've had a massive continual exodus of professional people from the island, which has contributed to a series of brain drains. And right now, I think that Vincentians have been living through very dire economic circumstances for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the pandemic has crippled our very fledgling tourism industry, and places like the Grenadines are feeling it very hard right now.
Yeah.
And we're going through a lot of very dark economic stories simply because in many ways we are even more tourist dependent than the mainland because of our geography and the archipelago.
Yes.
Of the nation state. Solana, I know that you work within the tourism industry, so I don't know if you want to expand on that a little more.
Yeah, no doubt. It has been extremely difficult, well, worldwide, like everywhere else, since March 2020, last year, to this date. And if the pandemic wasn't enough, we now have the volcano to deal with. And it is really playing quite a psychological impact on people when they're studying the long term. You know, they have mortgages to pay, they have kids, their education to think about, that's not happening, and there's no source of income for over a year, especially here on Bec, where a lot of people have been laid off of their work.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we depended a lot on the yachties, and that's not here either. So things are difficult, and it's quite dire even more now, so with the volcanic eruption, the ripple effect will come.
Absolutely. We're not running out of time, but I want to get back to some questions. And let me say this. Post-Dorian, Bahamian psychological and psychiatric and health and wellness professionals came together, I think in partnership or with the support of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and offered therapy sessions for people who lived through Dorian, people who were dealing with the aftermath of Dorian. Is one of the things that we in the Bahamas can offer is perhaps access to counseling or psychological or psychiatric services through a digital platform? And is that something, you know, we could do at a regional level to not just show our support, but offer a resource to the country?
Absolutely, you know.
Absolutely.
I was having this conversation yesterday with a couple of individuals and professional women on St. Vincent, just with an attempt to start this conversation on what the on the ground resources were, and just to check the temperature with regards to how people are feeling. You know, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people are still in shell shock. They haven't moved into that recovery mindset yet. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, I think, essential for us to think about diversifying the stream of support and services offered to people in need. I think one of the ways in which we kind of do ourselves a disservice is always speaking about how resilient we are and how we could bounce back from everything. So my question is, bouncing back from a pandemic, bouncing back from a hurricane season, bouncing back from earthquakes, bouncing back from, you know, droughts, bouncing back from these volcanoes that don't seem to give us enough time to actually catch our collective breath. How do we assume that a people who have been neglected, because they have been socially neglected, how are they going to resource themselves if we continue to not develop that survival guide and that survival toolkit? Because, you know, as a region, we have that information, Erin. We have that information on lock right now in terms of how to not find ourselves in these situations. My sentiment is that we're looking at a situation where the volcano in St. Vincent became effusive at the end of 2019, December 29th, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. There has been continuous activity over the course of 4 months, and yet we are still unprepared. Yet people are still going into shelters that are unprovisioned and unclean. You know, the one beautiful thing about existing in this time and in this space is that the media, you know, is no longer the monolith. You know, it's no longer the end all be all. Now we have, you know, the layman, the actual human being on the street with his or her own ability to share his or her own experience. Mm-hmm. So we're no longer relying on the one voice to give us an understanding of what's happening. Multitudes of voices are telling us what the conditions are. So we no longer buy into the lie of being okay, because we know from the actual encounter of this traumatic event, from the actual encounter of, you know, being told that, you know, the cruise ships are on the way from Barbados and Antigua to provide safe space for Vincentians. Mm-hmm. And this whole vaccine conversation started, which I think was absolutely deplorable, because we're looking at a state of emergency. You're looking at how best to provision, secure, and provide safe shelter for people. But rather than doing that, you confuse people and they end up feeling as though they actually are better off in a disaster zone, mm-hmm, than on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
So we have not done ourselves any favor. The government has not done Vincentians a great favor there. And so there's been a lot of national confusion. And of course, in the era of fake news and manipulation, this kind of tactic is very dangerous. Not only does it confirm the continuous damage to the psyche, people want to believe anymore. So if you tell them, hey, this is our safe space here, and they hear something else, they don't know how to verify.
Yeah.
Right? And this is, I think, the most painful and confusing part for me so far, because again, I am in Barbados.
Yeah.
Even though we're affected by ashfall, I am not on St. Vincent. So I can't even imagine what the evacuees from the north windward section of the island have had to face. You know, some of them, you know, risking their life in very, very rough water to you know, go on these small pirogues to bring them to the south. So it's a very complicated situation right now.
Okay, listen, ladies, let's go to a quick break. Please don't go. When we get back from the break, I would like to just quickly share the resource list again, what people need, and our best ways to donate.
Thank you.
You're tuned into 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin, to our members of our Caribbean family in St. Vincent and the Grenadines and in Barbados. We will be right back after this break.
Beautiful. Beulah gal. Can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
For the past 33 years, Great Commission Ministries has been defending the poor and hurting, feeding the hungry, and sheltering the homeless. We invite you to support our Live to Give program and make a difference in these challenging times. Become a donor by giving a one-time annual gift or a monthly donation of $50 or $100. Call Great Commission Ministries at 325-5801 for more details. Or visit our headquarters at 237 Wolf Road. Join Live to Give today. This public service announcement is proudly sponsored by this radio station.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to 96.9 FM. That's Guardian Radio. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of April, 2021. And I have guests with me from St. Vincent and the Grenadines and from Barbados. And let me just say from the Bahamas, too, talking about what's going on the ground in St. Vincent and the Grenadines right now, the eruption of the La Soufriere volcano. How we in the Bahamas and across the globe can support and can help. Now, let me just say to my audience, I's a Caribbean person. I love the Caribbean. Even as a gay woman, I've been to Jamaica, and I ain't get no bad vibes in Jamaica. I love Jamaica. Jamaica just gonna have to accept me as a citizen. And St. Vincent, too. I went to St. Vincent on a business trip. And I found and ate the largest soursop I ever seen. This soursop is, I have a tiny head. This soursop was like three of my head put together in one soursop. And it was just, you could tell I'm a fruit file. It was just an amazing experience. And just last week I shared, when we were talking about, we were having a culture show, about a world-class drummer in St. Vincent that I met on this trip who wanted to talk to me about the possibilities of coming to the Bahamas and drumming one more time with Chippy Chipman and Peanuts Taylor. But my most memorable part of this trip is watching this herd of goats, right, who are obviously in charge of themselves. Take theyself from wherever they live down to the town, like on their daily constitutional, right? And we were at the school. But you just wait. Come lunchtime, they're going to be coming back same way. Anyway, it was the most beautiful thing. And I went to go talk to the goat, and the goat talked to me. Asked me if I was okay, if I knew where I was. Don't be troubling these goats, you see. St. Vincent was just like home, man. And so, you know, it's my pleasure to provide this platform for us to learn more about what's happening on the ground and how we can help. So let's go through that list of resources, things that people need on the ground sort of right now and then in the long term.
Yes, Erin, that story with the goats is a beautiful one. And of course, seeing the levels of devastation, it really breaks your heart to consider what this has done to our biodiversity as well. Yeah. The most pressing need right now is water and food. Of course, medicine is going to become very important. Cuts, big water tanks. We're going to need different kinds of machinery to sweep up the levels of ash that have dropped onto our land. A lot of young mothers are crying out for different kinds of resources for their children, you know, clothing. There are a lot of people who are also suffering from different respiratory illnesses. So, you know, I know that the Bahamas is very much equipped with that, you know, short list and that long list of the things that people would need in a crisis. And we're facing very much the same thing. So medicines, food, non-perishable food items, sanitary napkins, you know, personal effects for, you know, everyone, because, you know, when you're in a shelter, you really can't take care of yourself like you,
hygiene product, right?
Hygiene products. And also, you know, taking into consideration that this dust is very toxic if inhaled. So we really want to also do a call for masks and to keep places sanitized. So like cleaning supplies. And a lot of these shelters are not equipped with bedding materials. So we're looking at mattresses, cots, blankets, anything that would provide a safe and comfortable space for people to rest in the long term. You know, a lot of people are donating yoga mats, which, you know, can help in the short term, but we're really looking for more comfortable supplies so that people feel that they can rest in place for a while. Solana, I'm not sure if you're online. I know you're dealing with several other calls, but has any other items come in? Oh, our elderly. I can't forget our elderly. Our elderly, they need, you know, insulin medication, different kinds of medication, because, you know, the NCDs, everybody, I mean, across the Caribbean, we record of people not being so healthy because of our poor diet and our disconnect from wellness. So these are some of the things that are going to become quite prevalent.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also one thing that is coming, like people that need right now also are like the asthma puffs. That is something that we need to get to more people just because of the dust and ash in the air, especially for children. It's a long list of items that are needed. Food, toiletries, adult pampers, baby pampers, formulas for kids, cleaning supplies for all the shelters, even for like the elderly homes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's an exhaustive list, Erin. I'm not sure if you have the capacity to post this list somewhere for listeners to look at, so they have a better understanding, but we could absolutely provide that. That's, you know, easily shared. And it's easily found on our pages as well.
Absolutely. And what I will do is I will share all of the information that you've shared with me on the show and offline on the Erin Green on the Clock Facebook page. And I will continue to direct my listeners to that page. Now, earlier in the discussion, you listed some of the organizations that people could donate to. And I heard you mention the Red Cross and Rotary Clubs, right? And so I want you to repeat that list. But what I'm thinking is, if there's a Rotary Club in Nassau, then I can go through my Rotary Club in Nassau to make donations to the Rotary Club in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, right?
Yes, I'm assuming that they're already in contact, and I would hope that, you know, the parallel national organizations would already be in, you know, communication, liaising with support, or that is my hope. So again, just to reiterate the organizations that NEMO, the National Emergency Management Organization, is working with, they include the SVG Red Cross, the Rotary Clubs, the Lions Chamber of Industry and Commerce. Of course, there are other established religious, charitable, and civic organizations that are doing work across the country. So we can also compile that larger list.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Sulana? Okay.
She might be on a call. Yeah,
I understand. Thank you very much. And one of the reasons why I find this conversation so important is because we in the region should be helping each other build models for relief and recovery efforts after natural disasters like these. Right away we can cut down on some of the red tape and bureaucracy and concern about malfeasance by donating money to organizations we already trust in our country that have links or formal integral partnerships with organizations in the countries we are donating to, right?
Of course. I mean, that would be the swiftest way. You know, if relationship and allyship is already present, then there's little work to do, right? Absolutely.
And this PaySwift method, You mentioned the ease with which you can work with it under constraining circumstances. Can you just give the information again and how it works and where people can donate from? We're having this conversation in the Bahamas, but we may have people in Canada or in the U.S. listening who also want to donate.
Okay, so I'll go through the several methods, and it might be a little bit arduous, but please bear with us. We decided to not do a crowdfunding campaign because of the dynamic nature of this relief effort. We know that things are going to change and we didn't want to bombard people with different kinds of information, different kinds of updates all the time. So we have decided to work a little bit smartly and within our context. So there is one PDF that we have prepared, which gives you an understanding of the call response that we're trying to elicit with this current campaign. Mm-hmm. And that document has all of our banking information. If you're interested, you can write to Rise Up Bekwe, RiseUpBeQuia @gmail.com, and we will forward you this information. This has information if you're making a wire from the United States, Canada, the UK, and other places. We have formed a formal partnership with a foundation in the US called, I'm going to butcher it a little bit. It's called Community Foundation for St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We're working with Felicity Harley to ensure that people who want to make tax deductible donations can do so through that foundation. We are accepting payments through a platform and an app called Zelle. Zelle. And again, it would be best if you follow us on social media to get all of this information. And finally, PaySwift is the option I think that offers us the most robust means to get money in hand quickly and to spend it quickly to affect the lives of the evacuees quickly. So that link is, hold on, I'm trying to bring it up.
Amen. Absolutely. And while you're bringing it up, you know, particularly for my younger people and my family island residents, I've asked them to reshare this information because these are tools that we can use in our fundraising efforts as well. Also, considering we have a similar geographic dynamic, we also have an archipelagic exterior, right? And so these tools may be helpful for us in the future in our continued Dory relief efforts. In our continued efforts to recover and rebuild islands like Ragged Island and Long Key and Long Island that have had devastating impact, right, by these storms.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I have brought up the PaySwift address. So it is bit.ly / the number 3, Tango, October, or Oscar, Bravo, Victor, W.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So do I need to say it again, or you think it's
I have
there?
It. And let me say it again. It's HTT https://bit.ly/3tbvvw. There you go.
Thank you, Erin.
And you know, to my listening audience, I know that we also are still in Dorian recovery, and we also still in pandemic recovery. And so, you know, I want to say that every little bit helps, every little bit counts, and not every donation or act of support has to be financial, right? And so one question quickly before we go, what can we ask our government to do to support the relief and recovery efforts in St. Vincent?
So, you know, one of the most amazing things that happened when Dorian, you know, sat on the Bahamas, on Abaco and Grand Bahama for 3 days was Sedema and Mia Motley rallying forces and coming in with a regional sort of mission to let Bahamians know that they were being held by the rest of the Caribbean. This, for me, I think it made me cry for an entire day. But say no, is that time again. We need for Caribbean governments, for our Anglophone brothers and sisters to unite in this effort to bring aid and to bring light and to bring healing to our country. We all know that this is not going to be, you know, we give some money today and everything gets fixed tomorrow. We know that it's not that. We don't. Disasters and crises and moments of trauma don't work like that. So we're also pleading for people to continue telling our story, because yes, the explosion happened on Friday. The first explosive eruption happened on Friday, and that got a lot of coverage. But again, we're sort of slipping out of the news. And one of the beautiful things about our Caribbean region and our, you know, historical connections is that we can continue telling each other's stories, we can continue sharing, we can continue reaching out, we can continue to be our brothers and sisters' keepers, because what we're looking at, we are becoming a region of, you know, climate refugees and natural disaster refugees, and we can't for 1 minute think that not. So this story needs to remain alive. There's so much coming out now out of St. Vincent with regards to, you know, social media broadcasts. And if you care, you know, it's just a simple click to ask us how you can help. And we will absolutely share as best we can. If we know that we can't do the work, we will pass it on to a bigger institution and organization that can assist you. So again, communication lines are open, and we are very grateful to share our end of the story.
Absolutely. Holly, I have a problem. The best questions always come to me at the end of the show. And so I want to ask quickly, how have the Garifuna people and the indigenous people of the island and of the island chain, how have they been impacted? And do they have an opportunity to be relocated to other island chains where their communities exist?
Oh, that conversation hasn't even started yet. But the Garifuna community and the indigenous communities, of course, they're all very much mixed now. And that we're in 2021, and that Sandy Bay, which is the space, the area that they come from in on the mainland, on the northeastern side of the island, even though that did not have a lot of, pyroclastic flow, the ashfall and the rivers leading down through that community and that village space, it overflowed. There's been a lot of destruction. The ash has caused a lot of houses and roofs to collapse.
Well,
so
listen,
I'm actually not sure. Once I know that information, I'll be able to share that. But there has been no conversation, as far as I know, and there's been a lot of conversation. So I'm probably not hearing everything.
Yeah.
Which addresses how the indigenous peoples of St. Vincent are being cared for.
Absolutely.
I know in the 1902 explosion, a lot of the indigenous peoples were killed.
Yes. Well, listen, this means that I have to have you guys back on in a few days or in a week to see where what's happening in St. Vincent and how we can continue to help. Solana, I want to say thank you very much for joining us this morning. Vincent and the Grenadines, I know that you are obviously working hard. Holly, thank you so much for joining us from Barbados. Thank you so much, my sistren, from an island down the chain. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I just got to read these texts quickly. Raccoons have squatters' rights to Erin. Yes, I know. Thank you, audience member. Miss Green, morning too straight. And yes, I'm glad that you enjoyed. So the third text, I'm glad you enjoyed the show. We wanted to ensure that everybody in the country knew what was happening in the region, because this is so important, especially like Holly pointed out, because of the support that they gave us. The support that they gave us post-Dorian. It was overwhelming. Anyway, I'm out of time, Bahamas, and that means it's 11 o'clock, and Lee Van Miller with Unleashed is up next. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk. Quality.